Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
What do you think was going through his mind up on Mount Nebo? What do you think Moses thought as the Lord showed him the whole land, the great plains, palm trees, the flowing river Jordan? It was that land flowing with milk and honey, which he had been looking forward to seeing up on the mountain. He looked over into it, surely with tears in his eyes, as he heard the Lord saying, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. This is what you've been dreaming of. This is what you've been looking forward to. This is the vision that's been keeping you going. Now you see it. But you shall not cross over there." What did that feel like? The feeling that comes to mind, to my mind, from my personal experience, albeit incredibly minor in comparison, is what I felt at the end of my hardest week as a camp counselor. I was a camp counselor for one summer up at Camp Cherokee on Lake Allatoona. My sister still loves that place, possibly more than any other place on earth. But for me, I was always happy to be there, but I was also happy to go back home once it was time. That was especially true after the hardest session of the summer. This one week was with the middle schoolers. Middle schoolers are hard enough, but these were serious about camping middle schoolers. They were so serious about camping that they actually chose to sleep in tents for the whole week away from running water and electricity. Because they chose to do this, I had to do it too. We were a mile or so away from the camp. We cooked all our own food. We lived out in the wild. And when it was finally over, I was ready to go home. So ready that I could taste it. I sat down in my car with such relief at the thought of a hot shower and sleeping in my own bed, only my car wouldn't start. Do you know that feeling? You say to yourself, it's finally over, but fate or karma or bad luck or God says, no, it's not. Why does that happen? What are we supposed to learn from something like that? Doesn't it make it so much easier to get through hard things? Doesn't it make it so much easier to do hard things if we have the promise of receiving a reward at the end of it? What changes in your life if you accept the truth that the outcome is never guaranteed? Sometimes we act as though it were. Have you ever worked overtime in expectation of a promotion that never came? Are you pushing through this time of quarantine with the hope that the vaccine will be here in March? Well, guess what? There's no guarantee. And so we must ask, had Moses known that he would never cross over into the promised land? Had he known, would he ever have left Egypt? Which is sort of like asking, would you have moved to New Zealand or somewhere back in April had you known that it was going to take this long for our country to get its act together? And we still haven't quite yet. Or thinking not of our present, but our history. What was going on in the mind of the first 12 members of First Presbyterian Church who started meeting in an old log house back in November of 1835? where they have left their established homes and already built churches to break ground right here. Had they known what it was really going to be like, had someone told them about raids, droughts, and dysentery, if someone had, would they still have laid the foundation that we now stand upon? There were but four families who started this church: May, Simpson, Hamilton, and Lemon. Leonard Simpson was one of our first two elders. He also ran the local tavern, and he died in 1856 at the age of 87, which gave him about 3 years to worship in the brick sanctuary that would not have been built had it not been for him. He had just 3 years to sit in such a beautiful place for worship, a sanctuary built to seat 400 by a congregation of just 96 at the time. The land on which it was built was donated by Reverend John Jones, their preacher, only it wasn't finished until after his resignation. What was that like? What was it like to work so hard for something, yet to never see it come to full bloom? What is it like to look forward to something that you never see materialize? What is it like to make sacrifices, not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of those who come along later after your own lifetime? A friend from Tennessee named Neely King, who wrote me a text message that pretty well sums all this thinking up in just one line. She heard it in a sermon maybe or someplace. She may have just come up with it herself. She's such a witty person. We live in a microwave society, but we serve a crockpot God. That's a hard truth to live with, and maybe it's especially hard for her husband John to live with, who used to let me know that the service was running too long by laying down his hymnal, waving his arms, and pointing to his watch from the back pew in the sanctuary where they sat. Like him, we are all impatient people. Scripture calls us to be patient all the time, but we can all do our Christmas shopping online, and it will be on our doorstep by the end of the week. People often say Rome wasn't built in a day, but ask a contractor how many customers patiently wait for the bathroom renovation to be finished. The truth about humanity is that we want it now. We love immediate gratification, but so much of what we have, so many of the gifts that we enjoy were not thrown together in an instant or even in a lifetime, but were perfected as they were passed down from one generation to the next one. And what would any of our founding mothers and fathers say if they could see us right now live streaming our worship service through the internet? What would any of them say to us now? What would any of us say to them? For Moses was not permitted to cross over, but when he died, generation after generation has celebrated him. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. If you can see today's worship bulletin, that's what's painted on the cover. For 30 days, the Israelites wept for Moses because he had brought them so far and he had given them so much, yet he died before his feet could touch the promised land. Does that make you sad? It does me. But not if I think about it this way. A friend of mine named Robin Munger has a rug in her house. Her grandmother started that rug for her when Robin was just a little girl, because her grandmother wanted it to one day be in Robin's home when she grew up. Now, to be grown up with a home of her own must have seemed to little Robin like a future so far away that it would never get here. She was just a child, and what is having her own home to a little girl other than a far-off dream? If Christmas takes forever to get here when you're young, you're so short-sighted that you turn that crank on the ice cream crank, and it feels as though ice cream is never going to happen. It does, of course. It happens, and in Robin's house today is this rug that her grandmother made for her. Her grandmother died before she could ever see it there, but is a piece of her grandmother, not with Robin always. So it is with our Lily. Our daughter Lily is named after my grandmother, her great-grandmother, who she never met. My paternal grandmother painted with oils, and still, whenever I smell oil paint, it's like I'm back in her house. Some of her artwork hangs in our home, and I point out these paintings from time to time to our Lily, saying, "Your great-grandmother, who you're named after, painted that, and she would have loved you." What does it mean to pass something like this down to the next generation? What does it mean to invest in something far into the future? I tell you, it is this great act of faithful giving that helps us today remember that there will be a future. This year, we are completing the final phases of that capital campaign you funded 2 years ago. We're going to expand the playground on Church Street. Do you know the one I'm talking about? And do you know how good it is, how happy it makes me to think about children playing on that playground, playing someday, surely, without face masks covering their faces? Someday, it's going to happen. Someday it's going to be better than it is right now. Someday we are going to look back on this moment and we will tell those who can't remember what it was like. Yes, we really did have to wear face masks all the time. Yes, restaurants really could only give us takeout. Yes, toilet paper really was all gone. Yes, we were scared, but we made it. We made it, and now look at where we are. Moses knew where he was going, and even though he never reached it himself, I know that he died a happy man because a congregation of 96 people built a sanctuary that can now seat 400. Four families were so determined to have a Presbyterian church in Marietta, Georgia, that now we have this place and each other. Just the idea that our children might have a better life than we have brings me so much joy that I can't help but smile. So why would we not invest in a future, even if it's a future we cannot see? Why not give some of what you have to make sure that this place steps boldly into a land we might only glimpse? This church could be an institution that will outlive us all. From this pulpit, the gospel may be proclaimed by preachers who have yet to be born. The generation who came before may rejoice knowing that this church, when they invest it in, will be a home to their great-great-great-grandchildren and their children after that in the faith, so long as we build it up while its future rests in our hands. I'm asking you to take your pledge card and to make an investment in this church's future. Why? So we'll make it for another year? Sure. But more precisely, so we can pass the gift of this great place down to the coming generation better than we found it. For it is because of this place that we are better than when we were before He found us. Isn't that the truth? Who was I when I wandered into this church for the very first time as a third grade kid? Who was I as a high schooler who went on a mission trip with this church's youth group down to Mexico? Tim Hammond, who was there with me on that first trip that I went on with our youth group, he reminded me the other day that the van which took me and my friends down to Mexico was nicknamed the Paddy Wagon because of our group's bad behavior. Well, my friends, I have gone from the paddy wagon to the pulpit, and it's because of the gospel that I heard in this place. It has made me better than what I was before. How then can I not want to leave this place better than how I found it? Will you help me? Our family increased our pledge this year. Why? It's because we've been blessed by this place again. Over these past 3 years that we've been here, you've been so faithful to me and my family. So how could we not be faithful right back? How could we not want the same for other families and even coming generations? And so I ask you, will you help me keep it going for the kids who are in the nursery? Will you help me keep it going for their children and for their children's children? For I tell you that as this day turns into the next, and as the far off tomorrow turns into the day after that, how we live now will resound through a future we may never set foot in. But they will remember the gift they have received, and we will rest knowing that we leave this place better than we found it. Presbyterians are weird about money. We don't like to talk about it. So I'm just going to say it as plainly as I can. Everything that you have is a gift from God. And in Scripture, we are called to give 10% of what God has given us away. Take your pledge card and invest a portion of what you have into the future of this church. Not only will this church be stronger and better for you having done so, but so will you. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.